Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I would make this decision on my own if I were the person who emailed you. And look, be a man. And just, it's fantasy freaking football.
Mike Shope.
Make a call! You don't need his help. Figure it out. Go to a website. Download an app. What? You can't do it yourself? You need Mike's help?
And the Bulldog.
I don't know what to do. Who should I keep? It's not that hard. Pick a guy. You'll live.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Just get on with your life. It's no big deal.
Heartfelt there from Bulldog. Makes me miss him hearing that. He's not here today, though. I'm glad to have Matt Harmon from Yahoo on the Wester hotline on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. It's good to talk to you. This is an interesting slate of games coming up, especially for the Bills up there, you know, off to a hot start and to getting a team in the Bengals that have they got stomped last week harder than I think I've seen a team get stomped. Pretty in surprising fashion by the 49ers.
Yeah. John Brown. So a lot of the fantasy, most of the fantasy content I consume, I've got people who are really excited about John Brown. And might you be one of them, Matt? I think you probably are.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of John Brown actually for a long time. I use a methodology I think I've talked about on your program before, reception perception to chart. Individuals route running and success rate versus different types of coverages. And Brown has actually been a guy that's, whenever he's been healthy, you know, that 2015 season, his rookie year, and then last year with the Ravens, he's always been above the 90th percentile in that metric. So really, really good results. I think he's always been a very underrated player that just kind of had his career derailed a little bit in Arizona there due to the sickle cell trade and then a bunch of reoccurring lower body injuries. But Brown is showing in Buffalo that he's not just a deep threat, too. You know, usually we see him be one of these deep down the field guys, but he only has an average depth of target of just 13 yards, and he's caught seven passes in back-to-back games. He's really fulfilling that role of a number one receiver that this team definitely needed.
Yeah, and you've got, you need more, right? You've got the guy, and can the guy do it? And then you need to have the rest of it, which is including the quarterback. You need the scheme to be right, the offensive line, and these are all areas, those three areas, Matt, I would say are all areas where it's looking better for the Bills so far this year than it has in the past.
I would agree. I mean, this team right now, when you look across the AFC, and it's super early, so let's keep that in mind, but you know, when you look across the AFC right now, we obviously have like the two powerhouses in the Chiefs and the Patriots, and I think they're pretty alone at the top of one tier. I think the Ravens are right there too. I think they could, if they have a convincing win over the Chiefs, or even just eke that out on the road, or even just keep that game really competitive, I think you could make a case that they're that clear third team and maybe not that far off of those top two. After that, it gets really murky. I mean, you know, the Broncos, the Raiders, the Chargers, even the Chargers out there in the AFC West don't look like they're necessarily ready to make a big run. And then I think Buffalo is making that case that they're, you know, they would have to get a wild card spot because they're in the division with New England. But you look at what's going well right now in that roster, and it's pretty much everything. I mean, Josh Allen, as much as everybody wanted to take shots at Josh Allen coming into the league, he's shown that from a week-to-week basis, he has the ceiling of any quarterback, especially from a fantasy perspective because he runs. But they've really adapted to his style. And I think the best thing that you can say about the Bills is that they have organizational clarity. That's not something that's necessarily always been the case in Buffalo, but the GM, the coach, ownership, all on the same page. And that's really what you see out of the best organizations in the NFL. And you're seeing that really show results on the field this year for the Bills.
I like how you put that, organizational clarity. You know, week one was big for them at the Jets. And the Jets, I think we would agree, do not come off like a team that has organizational clarity. And their season looks to be in tatters already. You know, Matt, we see the AFC largely the same way. you know, you've got maybe all four AFC South teams in a group with perhaps the Steelers and the Browns. Maybe that might be it. I don't know if I want to put Denver or Cincinnati there, but you've got this cluster of teams that may be like wild card type teams. And it's just a question for like where the Bills rank among them. And a couple of the teams, all the AFC South teams you can talk about, the Browns and the Steelers, for different reasons, really make me wonder. Last night, watching Tennessee, I'm just like, how did they win in Cleveland by 30 points?
Yeah.
And then, of course, with Pittsburgh, you've got the departures, including the Roethlisberger injury, and I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, the Steelers are a tough case to crack right now. Like, obviously, Ben Roethlisberger out, but you could really make the case that Ben Roethlisberger wasn't playing like Ben Roethlisberger to start this year. I mean, the Steelers' offense, they really kind of came alive when they went to Mason Rudolph, which, you know, I mean, they came alive in a sense that they weren't completely dead, because their week one game against the Patriots was a total disaster, a stone nightmare. And then you see, even when Roethlisberger's in the game against the Seahawks, they just weren't moving the ball. I think they're really – look, for everything that's wrong with Antonio Brown, and there's obviously a lot, you got to make the case that he is one of the biggest difference makers in the NFL and that the Steelers are desperately missing him. So I really don't know what to expect out of the Steelers. And then the Browns, like, they're still like a literal wild card in this race,
yeah,
because I think they could get hot at any point because they have so much talent. And I think a lot of their problems so far have been due to just a lack of discipline. You know, it was kind of an under-discussed point by all of us that we didn't really know who Freddie Kitchens was as a head coach. We know who he is as a play caller, and he's aggressive and all that, but so far they have looked like a confused, unorganized, and undisciplined team. So if that corrects itself, then I think the Browns can join maybe that tier with the Ravens and everything like that and maybe be a little bit ahead of the Bills. But right now, I mean, among all these teams we're talking about, even the Texans included, who I would also put with the Browns because they have a great quarterback, they have that upside too. I think of all these teams so far, the Bills, against some lacking competition for sure, but they have made the most convincing case of this group so far.
With Matt Harmon of Yahoo, Mike Shopier, Bulldog, is off today. Matt, we're just finding out here, including from a tweet from the Yahoo account, that Antonio Brown seems to have been released.
Oh.
Yeah, like just in the last minute. Antonio Brown.
That news to me, literally.
Yeah, he's just been he seems to be confirming it himself. Thank you for the opportunity, Patriots. So, I don't know. Can I ask you on the fly here what you think it means to New England?
Probably not much, honestly, because like they went out in week one and they were, like we were just talking about. I mean, they curb stomped the Steelers. They were absolutely, you know, on fire. And this offense has a lot of talent with or without Antonio Brown. I mean, if they had Antonio Brown and Antonio Brown was like himself, and I mean, we even saw it in week two, right? Like he was only out there for 33-34% of the snaps, but he got 8 targets. He led the team in targets. He was getting the ball. Like Brady was looking for him when he was on the field. But even in week one, we saw the absolute potential of this offense, you know, to be a complete juggernaut. Because like Josh Gordon, he might not be Josh Gordon from when he led the NFL in receiving yards or anything like that, but he's still a great player. He's still different than what they've had in terms of outside receivers before. So, yeah, it's a loss. It probably takes them off the plane of perhaps the best offense in the league, like to challenge Patrick Mahomes for that. But I do think they're going to be, you know, more than fine.
How about this, Matt? How about this quote from the Patriots? We appreciate the hard work of many people over the past 11 days. 11 days! But we feel that it is best to move in a different direction at this time. You know, it's what? 9 months ago, he was on Pittsburgh. If you include the Bills, that's 3 teams ago that he is not on anymore. Do you have a comment on this from like a football perspective? What do you think? Because I guess I would say that Brown needs to go away for a while.
I mean, yeah, look, I find the whole Antonio Brown situation is one of the most, and like, you know, kind of just fielding this in real time, I mean,
yeah,
I find it to be one of the most, it's one of the strangest stories I've ever seen, because you're talking about a player that is literally one of the best to ever do it at his position. I mean, in terms of wide receivers, there's been few better. He's, I think, reading the SI article last week, you know, where ironically, like the biggest thing that everybody wanted to talk about coming out of that was like, oh, he farted in his doctor's face. But like, that is by far the least important thing in that story. You can clearly see this is a guy who is just lost is the best way to put it. I don't know. Like, it's it's very strange. It's one of the weirder stories I've ever seen, and it just seems to be like, yeah, like you said, he needs to go away. He needs to, like, clearly figure some things out on his own, because this is now three teams in the span of, you know, less than a calendar year that have decided we are better off without the help of, you know, an all-time great talent. And, you know, the NFL has shown us over the years, time and time again, that they, you know, if you're a very talented player, you will get break after break after break after break. No matter what you do, if you are, you can do some horrendous things, but if you can play football at a high level, you will get chance after chance after chance. And for Brown to do this, it shows that whatever is going on with him, it's toxic and it's very serious.
You know, after Pittsburgh, I kind of liked, you know, just in the job at least, Matt, I liked defending Brown. I mean, I thought, look how good he is and has been. I can't imagine he won't do the work for a team. His career speaks for itself. And then when the Bills came up, we were all shocked by that here. I'm like, okay, well, I can respect this idea. He's great. This team has had almost the worst passing offense in the league for 20 years. So, you know, let's go. But then what we found out about Brown changed. You know, it got a lot worse. Yeah. You know, it went from whatever Pittsburgh drama was to his feet and his helmet to allegations of sexual assault. And so at this point, go away and we'll see, you know, what happens with those allegations. Maybe in the future at some point, he can reclaim his career. But I'm in here earlier today just sort of blasting the Patriots for how this has played out. And I guess I have to say good for them.
Yeah, I mean, the Antonio Brown thing went from, like, funny to weird, yeah, to strange to dark very quickly, you know,
yeah,
it's
right,
just the last couple of weeks. And again, it's a situation where, like, I was, again, to bring up that SI article, like, was reading that. And then this morning I'm reading an article again on SI, like an interview with Calvin Johnson, and just like the difference in air between these two all-time great guys, like the sense of reality that Calvin Johnson seems to have versus the sense of reality that Antonio Brown. I met Antonio Brown one time and, you know, enjoyed spending time with him, but you don't know somebody after like 10 minutes, and you certainly don't know somebody after reading a couple articles about him. But at the same time, like, again, that sense of reality, that sense of like groundedness that you get from Calvin Johnson after reading this, it was such a stark departure to think of, you know, what we've seen from Antonio Brown. And yeah, it's awful because in a way, he was a great story. You brought up the work ethic. Like, few would question that Antonio Brown was one of the hardest working players in the NFL. That's how he became one of the greatest to ever do it, from being like a six-round pick who had a pretty horrendous NFL scouting combine. You know, he wasn't a guy that ran like a 4.2 or anything like that. So it's a shame that it's happened this way, but, you know, these are human beings, and this tends to happen.
Thank you, Matt, for rolling with me on this, as we just found out together here that it happened. Let's do 5 minutes of fantasy if you have the time. Kansas City, Williams out. McCoy is he officially questionable? Like, is Darwin Thompson? You know, they're interesting. Like a lot of teams, you don't know really exactly what you're going to get on Sunday in the backfield, but if like Thompson, I guess, is maybe a more interesting question than McCoy. If McCoy is in there, we're all playing him with that on that offense, I think. But what is Thompson worth this week, if you know what we know right now?
Right. I mean, yeah, we know Williams is not going to play, and then we know that McCoy is coming into this game banged up. And, like, by the way, it's worth – I mean, you guys know this from Buffalo. When McCoy was banged up last year, he was like a shell of his former self. I thought that he looked pretty good in week one, all things considered. And then as he started to deal with injuries in week two, you even saw he had a really slow line, and that entire Chiefs running game just didn't get off the map. Of course, it doesn't matter because they have the God himself behind center. Mm-hmm. But, like, right now, I would say when it comes to fantasy football, you always want to be the wolf. You don't want to be the sheep. You want to be ahead of things. You don't want to be chasing things. And I think the proactive move is, like, that fourth wide receiver you have on your roster that's probably not going to make a difference for your team. Like, God forbid if you have a backup quarterback, backup tight end, you got to cut those guys and put Darwin Thompson on the end of your bench, because all Thompson has to do is go and have a couple of, like, you can't take it back moments. Like, once they're out there, he has a couple of big runs against the Ravens. He gets hot. He's probably going to take this job from an aging LeSean McCoy or a guy in Damian Williams who doesn't have a pedigree. So at the end of the day, I think the proactive thing to do, I wish I had Thompson on the bench in more of my leagues. I don't know that I'm gutsy enough to start him right now. Like, I think you'd have to be pretty desperate at running back to do something like that. But I do think the proactive thing is to have him on your roster.
Yeah, right on. I agree. I've learned that from reading guys like you. And I like to try to figure out who the quintessential example of that extra guy on your bench is. Right now, I'm between Anthony Miller and Jack Doyle for that. It's some sort of Jack Miller is the guy I'm cutting to put Darwin Thompson on my roster.
Those are perfect examples of guys that, like, almost no matter what, like, even if things break right for Anthony Miller, like, it seems like he's not playing much because of an injury, he's probably not going to make or break your fantasy season. But somebody like Darwin Thompson, if he hits, that's going to make your fantasy season.
Yeah. Dante Pettis at this point. You know, so a lot of these guys, if you cut, depending on your league, of course, but if you cut them, they sit there. Like, nobody else has some – most teams don't have a player that they would – dump for those guys. So you can even, you know, if Miller, say, I kind of like this idea DFS wise this week too, like, if Miller has a big night Monday night, then maybe I go back to Anthony Miller. All right, how about Marquise Brown, Matt? So what a start, right? Like, Jackson and the Ravens, what a start. How high are we talking here for Marquise Brown this year, do you think?
I mean, I think he's going to finish inside the top 24 fantasy receivers for sure. So that makes him, a clear-cut starter every single week. It's a funny story. Like, my sister has really gotten into fantasy football, right? And just over the last 2 years, I mean, we don't even, at this point, like, from September to December, we don't talk about almost anything other than fantasy, which, like, the other day, I'm like, hey, nice to talk to you, too. Let's get to, she's like, let's get down to business. It's just, that's where we're at. It's terrible, but... So she has Marquise Brown on her team, and, even after week one, she starts hitting me with the, like, well, I heard he only played 14 snaps, only ran 8 routes. I'm like, what are you doing here? I'm supposed to be the one talking about this stuff. But, so it just goes to show you that, like, everybody had some questions coming out of week one, was this going to be sustainable? But we saw the playing time boost come right away. And I think what we saw last week, too, wasn't just that, okay, they want to get their first-round pick on the field, but he showed us the advanced parts of his game. In week one, we saw him hit the deep post. We saw him do the crossing route over the middle and score that for a touchdown. We knew he could do those things even without any practice time. But coming in out of week two, we saw him run real traditional routes. We saw him catch 8 passes for 80 yards, steady, easy production to build up the offense. And that's why I loved Marquise Brown coming out of college. I sat down and talked to him before the draft, and he ran me through all the nuances of his route running and everything like that, and I was so impressed with how advanced he was in that regard. So at this point, I think, the Jackson, Mark Andrews, Marquise Brown trio, I think those guys are pretty much players you're locking into your lineup every week because, as I was telling my sister after week one, you can bench Marquise Brown because you're a little worried about that floor, but, like, if you bench him and you take that ceiling out of your lineup, you better feel really confident about what else you're putting in there, because if that ceiling hits and it's on your bench, you're pretty much just going to hate yourself for the rest of the week.
All right, one more in 1 minute, if I can. I watched your video today. I know you're a little bit panicking on Diggs. Some of this stuff, I'd recommend people go watch your video and see how you feel about certain players. I can't have you on and not ask you about Curtis Samuel. When I think Matt Harmon, I think Curtis Samuel. So no Cam Newton for who knows how long, but probably weeks, Matt, I think. Is Samuel the same to you this way, or is he a little, maybe a downgrade a little bit?
So, hashtag Fantasy Football Survival Kit, that's the video that you're referencing. And we also have a Facebook group, too, if people want to come in and jump in and ask some lineup questions and discuss with each other. You can find it, just Fantasy Football Survival Kit, the video's right there. Curtis Samuel's a guy that certainly you got to be a little nervous about, but here's the deal. I think I've watched Carolina Panthers football for a long, long time. My family's from the area. I've watched pretty much every game that Cam Newton has played since he's come to the NFL. I think that week two performance was the worst I've ever seen him play. I think after he tweaked that foot early in that game, he was just off completely. I think Cam, in a very different way, but Cam Newton's got to kind of go away for a few weeks, rehab this foot, get back to normal. And, frankly, for the Panthers pass catchers, the opportunity has been exactly what we'd expect. DJ Moore's been the target hog in the short area. And Curtis Samuel's top 10 in air yards right now. He should have had like 170 yards in that game. if Cam Newton was even a little bit accurate. So, you know, we don't know much about Kyle Allen other than he played well in Week 17 last year, but these guys are walking into a gorgeous matchup against the Arizona Cardinals defense, who has been, you know, just flummoxed through the air so far. So I'm actually still going to play DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel this week because I think they're getting a quarterback who, you know, it can't be much worse than what Cam Newton offered last week, and it is a really good spot.
All right. Matt, I really like talking to you. I like watching you with Liz Loza. I'm in Fishbowl. I'm sitting seventh, so come and get me.
Oh, man, well, you're crushing it there. Good luck to you the rest of the way, and thank you so much for having me on.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you, Matt. Matt Harmon of Yahoo on Twitter, at @MattHarmon_BYB. Antonio Brown released by the Patriots.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's just, I mean, you can't even take a day off from the NFL or from Antonio Brown.
I was going to say, there's something with him every day. Right? What percentage of days in the last 6 months has there been some story on Antonio Brown?
Now what? We'll talk about that. Sal will be here too. Bulldog is off. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Mike Shope here with Sal Capaccio. Bulldog is off. Antonio Brown released by the Patriots. Sexual assault allegations and much more in the last few days perhaps led to the breaking point and the breaking up of the Patriots and Brown, who in the end played one game for them. And boy, was he badly needed in their 43-0 win at Miami. Football Friday on WGR brought to you by Seneca Resorts and Casinos, the official casino of the Buffalo Bills. Sal, today, Bill Belichick, you know, even for his press conferences, was kind of a brick wall up there. And it was, again, even for him, like, more difficult. I wonder what did it today that ended the relationship. But just a few hours ago, Belichick was up there saying he's on the team, and now this.
But if you watch that press conference today, and I did, Mike, he was clearly annoyed, even more so than he was last week, by the bombardment of questions about Antonio Brown. And I think this was a coach, to me, who simply read like his body language was, I'm tired of answering these questions. I'm tired of dealing with it. What can I do? And the answer is, the only way you are not going to answer these questions anymore if he's not on your team anymore. Now, I don't know if between that press conference and now, or even before that, they had some sort of information that they've gathered or someone told them because of the investigation and all those things that are going on. That could very well be possible and could have been the tipping point. But mm-hmm. I will tell you, I watched that press conference this afternoon because it literally took only 4 minutes out of my day, because that's how long it lasted. And he was clearly annoyed.
I thought so too, but I can't believe they would cut him over that.
I just think he's tired of answering it. He's tired of dealing with it. I don't think he wants to deal with this anymore, and the only way to get rid of the problem is to get rid of the player.
Well, sure. So when they signed him, and the Patriots said, now you can believe them or not, but when they signed him, we did not have these most recent allegations that, of course, are much more serious than what we had with the Raiders. And what I mean by that is, you know, his helmet and his feet and just like the drama about all that stuff. So it kind of, at least on the surface, Sal, it looked like the Patriots signed him and were willing to, of course, put up with whatever that was. But this, right, like this came up before last week's game.
Mm-hmm.
And they still put him out there for that game. And then into this week until today.
Well, I think they look pretty bad as an organization anyway, for even going to the lengths that all this, when it started. Let's remember how all this started. This is a man who forced his way out of Oakland, and I believe had a lot of backdoor dealings to get to New England, whether that's through Drew Rosenhaus or himself or however. I'm sure Drew was a part of that. To me, there was a lot of shenanigans, and it clearly read like some sort of, I would say, collusion, conspiracy, whatever, to get him to New England. I think that made them look bad, and the fact that they signed him right away after that kind of led credence to that. And then dealing with everything they were dealing with and still holding on to him and still defending him, if you will, by having him on the roster, I think has made them look really bad in this situation overall. Letting him play last week simply made them look bad.
Yeah, why was that? That's a tough one, especially in that matchup. Why would they have thought, why did they decide to do that and think that they needed him in that game? You know, it's pretty bad.
They don't. I just had a friend text me and say they don't need him to win anyway, which is right. And we all know that in all sports, pretty much organizations are willing to deal with different levels of, I guess, behavior.
Yeah, challenges.
Or challenges with a player depending on how much that player helps them win. I mean, we know that. That's been throughout. If you're not someone who's going to really help me win, then I'm really not going to deal with things that you bring to the table that cause me to have problems. But if you're someone that's going to help me win, then I will. And this particular team is still really talented. They're still really good. With or without Antonio Brown, they're probably still the most talented team in the AFC. So this might have been an easier decision because of that.
This accuser, pretty brave and pretty serious. Her name is out. And she met with, I heard that she met with the NFL for 9 hours the other day. So I don't know what was going to come from this. There were more text messages were revealed today from Brown. And just more reason to think that a lot has happened. So football-wise, Sal, like maybe they didn't need him or don't need him.
Mike,
but he helped.
Was that the second accuser where the text messages came forward
from
today?
It was
the Robert Klemko story, and then Robert Klemko actually had the text messages as well today. But his story was about the second accuser.
Okay,
that had
the mother of his kids, and there were pictures of kids.
There were pictures of kids, but not his kids. I don't think. I'm confused by the whole thing, but I don't know if it was the same original accuser.
Okay.
I don't know, but
very well.
I think that all of that adds up to there's just so much here with this guy, and I've read and I've heard a lot of people say, why doesn't, you know, Drew Rosenhaus talk to him? Why doesn't this guy talk to him? Why doesn't this person talk to him? Well, I don't think there's any talking to Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's going to do what Antonio Brown wants. It doesn't matter if Drew Rosenhaus tells him, dude, you're ruining your career here. You need to stop. I don't think he cares. He's just of the mindset that I can do whatever I want. I think he feels he's entitled, and he's been like that his entire life, apparently.
Could have been us.
Thank goodness we're not dealing with that here in Buffalo.
Or didn't for more than a few hours.
Right.
As it turned out. Well, on him, a mistake will stay on him. I was asked in the hallway during the commercials, now what? And my guess is, at this point, he doesn't play again this season. But I wouldn't rule out the possibility of him playing again. Beyond that, depending on what happens with what he's been accused of, you know? What happens usually in sports? What happens usually in these kind of situations? It's a great player. It's been weird, too, but I wouldn't just assume he doesn't play again ever. But I think now, there's no team now that wants to take a shot here.
Agreed. And the teams that were in on him before, like Seattle, I don't even think there's no way anyone, Pete Carroll's not reaching out now and saying, oh, you're available. Come on. I think the only way he even has a shot to play in the NFL anymore is if he's kind of, I guess, cleared of these allegations. You know, cleared is a interesting word, though.
Yeah.
If there's some sort of, you know, the one allegation, the statute is up, the statute of limitations. If there's something that doesn't necessarily clear his name, but doesn't land him in jail or in some sort of criminal investigation, that might be enough for a team to sign him, because you're right. But I don't think any team does it right now with all of this hanging over his head.
Yeah, right. It was a civil suit,
correct,
too, like not charges. So, what about the Patriots then? Like, they come in here next week.
Mm-hmm.
They are a huge favorite to win at home against the Jets. This might not change that at all, the point spread.
I don't know.
If it does, it's still going to be true that they'll be a huge favorite, of course. So, like, what do you think of them? It's been changing a lot. But going back to before Josh Gordon came back even, there have been a lot of changes. Demaryius Thomas was on the team and then traded and so on. Now, it's still Edelman. It's Gordon. It's Philip Dorsett, who had a really nice week one and had his moments last year too.
Well, I know that we're talking about the offense, and they still do have that offense. By the way, all these young quarterbacks taking over, and here's 42-year-old Tom Brady who's still doing what he's doing. It's amazing. It really is.
Like,
right?
We talked about with John Clayton, I saw from ESPN today that if Teddy Bridgewater starts, and we think now that Kyle Allen will start for Carolina, it'd be 20 quarterbacks this week starting who are 26 or younger. Allen is not even 24 until May.
The quarterback,
Josh Allen.
The quarterback flip, the turnaround, the turnover, I should say, the changing of the guard that we've kind of been talking about for the last maybe 4 or 5 years at least, with Eli and Ben and Phillip Rivers and Breeze and Brady. It's basically happening now, but there's still a few guys. Brady, Rivers is another one. He's still out there. He's still playing. But Mike, even though we're talking about the offense and they still have a talented offense skill-wise, I'll get back to them in a second. What separates this team is their defense is really good. Their defense is really good, and they don't have to score 30 points a game to win. They've done that in the past. They've had defenses, I think, in the past through this run where they've kind of had to outscore the opponent. In most years, they've had a pretty good defense and even a really good defense, but this year's defense seems to be at least one of the better defenses they've had throughout this run. Yeah. Now, the offensive line is banged up. I'm sorry. The offensive line is an issue, and I do think that that could be what teams kind of have to bank on maybe beating them with, is beating them up front with their offensive line and the issues they have with injuries right now.
Yep, secondary super strong for the Patriots, and they still have the easy schedule or the easiest schedule in the league. What sets their schedule apart from, like, the Bills' schedule is that they don't play themselves. So it's pretty easy like that, and that's, again, with the Jets as their opponent at home on Sunday in Week 3. Then they're here next week. As I think we all know, we know that the Patriots are here next week. All right, Sal's going to be with me until 6, and we'll have our roundtable next hour. Talk a lot of Bills-Bengals, the Devin Singletary development. He will not play in this game. We'll talk a lot about the other games over the weekend as well. Mike Schoep here with Sal Capaccio. This is Football Friday on WGR.
You know, it's funny. I actually think Josh Allen was not quite as good this week as he was week one, but I think he's still making more throws than he did a year ago and some very good ones. He missed some this week, both ones that he just missed with poor accuracy and one that I thought he missed because he just didn't process it quite properly. But for the most part, I think he's incrementally improving.
That's Greg Cosell joining One Bills Live, as he does on a regular basis. Mike Schoep here with Sal Capaccio. The roundtable next hour will sound very much like it does when Sal and I are here, and it's not called the roundtable. The segment we have right now, Sal, I can only imagine your sense of anticipation. It's time for Rachel's Fresh Picks.
All right.
In which I give some picks.
So this isn't like the picks that you and Bulldog do every Friday.
These are the fresh picks.
This is just you and giving the words of wisdom on who to take this week
to
the listening audience.
I guess. And I'm not even sure if there hasn't been overlap the first 2 weeks. But what I've been doing with the Rachel segment is a line, a total, and then a fantasy tip, I guess. And so I'll do somewhat the same thing here. Yesterday when you and I were together, I mentioned, I think maybe we talked about Carolina-Arizona. We talked about that game with Evan Abrams. Mm-hmm. And I just think, like, people who bet these games know a lot, and whatever it is that, like, I might pluck out to talk about is going to be baked into the line. So that makes it really hard to be good at this. That's the real challenge of it. But I do think two things about that game. The total is 44.5. I think that with both teams running fast-paced offenses and the Cardinals, and also maybe both teams with Cam Newton out or even if he were playing, you wonder about turnovers too, with Murray being so young and just what they're doing there. that's points. Like, I just feel the over there. I'm fonder of the over than the under with that line in that game, because I think it could get really kind of crazy. And the other part of it is, I'm not assuming Kyle Allen is a step backwards from the current version of Newton. Mm-hmm. He's been on the roster. He played a little bit last year. He would be familiar enough. And against an Arizona defense that, you know, is beatable, I don't mind that about that number either. So I kind of like the over in that game. I would not bet this game, but before Antonio Brown happened today, I would still would have been on the Jet side of that game with New England. Because I think what we're going to have with New England is, or maybe what we always have with the Patriots early in seasons, even when they lose a couple, like last year, is that they're saving stuff. They're just not doing stuff. They don't have to. They have this extra luxury afforded to them being New England and playing the kind of schedule they do, where I think that maybe come December and January, we're noticing things they're doing and even how they're using players that just was not evident purposely in September. Mm-hmm. So that's not to say they couldn't just destroy the Jets like they did the Dolphins, but I don't know. Like, I want the Jets have a little bit. The defense isn't so bad, and this is not a point about a distraction or anything like that. But if I had to play that game, I would take the now 21 with the Jets.
I mean, historically, those lines, the underdog does cover. That's what was told to us this week, right? You had your guest on.
Did Evan say that?
Yeah,
I
think those lines are generally covered by the underdog. Those are really big spreads. I would also probably lean Jets in a situation like that. That's just such a really big number, and it's rare in the NFL to have blowouts like that. We get them, and we get a couple every week maybe, and some weeks there are more than others, some weeks there are none. And I understand it's the Patriots, the way they've looked, and the fact that Luke Falk is starting. Yes, but yeah, I mean, Greg Williams will try to do whatever he can to stop Tom Brady, and they do have some nice players, and if Mosley plays and Quinton Williams plays and comes back, I think at least they have a little bit of an opportunity there to keep it a little closer.
I'll take 21. If I had to play the game, that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. And finally, fantasy-wise, Oakland tight end Darren Waller. Now, if you're really into fantasy like I am, you've heard a lot about him. You've seen the stats. There's some nice numbers through 2 weeks. And maybe you know more. Maybe you don't. Maybe he's a guy that wasn't drafted in your league. Maybe he's somebody that's hiding on someone's bench because they have Travis Kelce or whatever, and he isn't a story in your league yet. I'm all in on Darren Waller. This guy is a super athlete. He had off-the-field stuff, substance abuse-type issues in his past, and it led to his not really getting his career off the ground. But with the Raiders, he's gotten this opportunity, and he is nice, I think, Sal. So, again, like, he's a low draft pick, if drafted at all in your league, and it's still early enough in the season where people will use when players were drafted as a measure of what their value is. But really, what we know is that changes fast. And so if I could get Darren Waller in a league, I would do it.
If Darren Waller was not drafted in your fantasy league, it's probably then only because nobody in your league has HBO.
Right.
Or you drafted how early. How could you watch Hard Knocks and then not know that this guy was going to be a pretty big part of their offense? It was pretty much known at the end of Hard Knocks the way they felt about him.
Yep.
And he you're right. He's a very good athlete. And by the way, a good story to root for because of what you said. I hope that he's got everything in his life cleaned up, and it seems like that's really kind of what's allowed him to flourish here.
Yeah, I think their passing offense is Waller, Tyrell Williams, and you know, not even Jalen Richard yet. Like, he's somebody that seemed pretty safe to get catches. He had a lot of targets last year, but that hasn't really happened yet either. So Waller, I think, is a force. Okay. More with Sal Capaccio next. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.